This episode of Auto Dealer Live is brought to you by Auto Dealer University.
All right, it's Thursday. We're here, Auto Dealer Live, man. It's going to be a little different today. What's up, Dave Cribbs?
How you doing?
I'm good, man.
I'm feeling good, man. I am feeling good today.
Yeah, me too.
I'm looking forward to new changes.
Yeah, we're in our new studio, and let's talk about the word new for a minute. This weekend we have a contractor coming in, and we're going to be kind of unveiling a brand new studio look next week. It'll be finished this weekend, and so next week's show you'll see a huge difference. But Cribs, more importantly, we're kind of doing that based on really unveiling, I guess, not only a new format. It might be new to some of our listeners, but it's almost a mix between a new format and a pre-owned format, kind of retro, going back. What's always made our show, we feel like, you and I are, we've never been much of a script followers,
Yeah.
And so we've decided, over the last few months that we've wanted to go back and really dig into this industry that we love and kind of treat it a little different and just have some conversation, man. Maybe change the format a little bit, get a little controversial like we've always been, because there's some things that kind of fire us up.
Well, I think that's where the show found its success, because, it was a place you could go for automotive content, but yet it was a place where you could hear conversations you weren't going to hear other places. Mm-hmm. I mean, we think about when you broadcast something, think about it. You're broadcasting something, right?
Yeah.
So normally people are concerned about what they broadcast. Mm-hmm. So I think that, we've gotten to a place, it's funny, the slogan we used recently with the OG, right? Original gangsters, yeah. I guess, is one of podcasts. But really, when you go back and look at it, we came up with that because it was original when we started. And it was refreshing. And, not only did we were able to capture the attention of the automotive world, but then, of course, over time, some of the big names like Grant Cardone came on early. And but everything that we heard from those amazing guests, earlier on in our earlier days was the fact that how refreshing it was. And then the listeners were able to listen to someone that they followed, but they never saw talk the way that they talked on Auto Dealer Live.
Yeah. I mean, because this industry, just like any industry, when you're in an industry, when you serve an industry, and in whatever industry that is, I mean, you're watching because you're in the automotive industry, and we serve that industry. You love the industry, but you don't like everything about it. You don't like everything that you see or everything that you hear. Or, there's things about, when you love something and care about something, you're more sensitive to what attacks or what could possibly harm that industry or what could possibly hurt the health of an industry or a person. You care about your children, so you're more sensitive, to the fact if somebody is going to damage them or hurt them. So there's things that we just don't agree with in this industry, so we try to be very unbiased because we have guests from both sides, and it's been a while, but we've been known in the past for debates. We've been known in the past for bringing up, some controversial topics. And it's not that this industry's changed. I was talking to somebody at a meeting in my office yesterday, and we were talking about some marketing, and I pulled a frame of a picture from a, we're in the marketing side of the business, and we also do direct mail. I pulled a mail piece from 1929 out that was framed, and because this person was talking about, well, not much has changed in the messaging, just the methods.
Sure.
And I showed her this to validate her statement, and this is from 1929. And other than the fact that there were some proper English used, because it was 1929,
right?
Some of the wording was different. There wasn't a lot of slang. The letter was written with payments and with discounts in mind. Yeah, it was crazy. And so we're in an industry where you really don't have a lot of revelation. There's not a lot of new things per se that take you outside of the nuts and bolts of this industry. Yeah. However, there are, there's just some controversies in the industry, some things that just, man, God, need to change, right?
Right.
And what you were talking about, what's something that gets you fired up? What's something that gets you just a little miffed? I mean, something, you talk to dealers on a daily basis.
Yeah, I think right now for me, it's the, and we have something coming up that's going to address this a little bit with culture, the culture event we have coming up. But, one of the things that bothers me is that Although I am all for the evolution of the workplace, and in fact, that's one of the reasons we're doing the culture event. But the evolution of the workplace, as far as, you know, maybe treating people differently, having more respect for people, all those wonderful things. But I think what we've lost along the way is some just simple, basic discipline practices. When I even hate to use the word discipline, because some people will automatically go to a harshness, right?
Right, right.
But I'm talking about just processes that we that are accountable, right? And that we don't stray from. And it's funny because, you know, in talking with dealers across the country, when it comes to training, and, you know, we do training obviously, but it could be anything. You could insert whatever other tool that a dealer might use, but training is where we specialize. But the point is that when you hear that one objection, and this is the one objection that just drives me nuts, and it's the, well, I can't get my people on board.
Yeah.
I can't get my people on board. And it's funny because a great friend of mine is an HR director at a pretty big technical company, and they do training all the time. That's her full-time job. And then that kind of throws salt in the wound for me on the car industry side, because I think, wow, I mean, what other industry, what other company, what other industry can you go to work, right, and just opt out of training? Like,
so let's ask the audience that. That bothers the heck out of me. I don't get that, you know, because, and look, you know what, you know, I mean, we can talk about it and say, hey, you know what? I don't have a top-down philosophy. You know, I collaborate with my team. By the way, I'm naming and discussing things right now, collaboration, you know, the non-top-down leadership, you know, the bottom-up leadership. I'm discussing things that I not only subscribe to, but I write about in Forbes, you know, and I believe and speak to. So for not a moment, don't throw the crap out, right? That, you know, I'm a leader. And, you know, I just let my team, you know, kind of, you know, man, kumbaya moments, because the reality is this: anything with no head is a freak, and anything with two is a freak, meaning you have to have a decision maker.
Yep.
And then at the same time, if you have nobody to make a decision. And so I think collaboration can come in inside of a team where we go, hey, let's talk about this in this meeting. And if this idea sucks, man, don't hold back. Tell me. But when we come to an agreement, right? When we leave, there's going to be a decision maker. I have to be responsible if it's my department or my company to make that decision. Then we're going to agree to disagree. Yeah. And so it just absolutely drives me nuts when someone says, I can't get my team on board. It's a leadership issue.
It is a leadership.
What does that mean?
And here's another thing I would say. And again, I'm not touting our training whatsoever. No. What I am saying is this, is that you're training your people.
Mm-hmm.
You're training your people. With or without an organized training platform, you're training your people. Every day you're walking in, you're training them.
Yeah.
It's just like a parent. Mm-hmm. A parent is parenting whether they want to or not.
Right.
What are you parenting? What are you training, right? So are you training the fact that training isn't important, that it's just kind of a free-for-all every day, or it only needs this much, or you only have to do it for the first 2 years of your career and then you're good?
Are you training? Let me jump in here for just 1 second too, just before anybody thinks, because, you know, we talk about, we've it used to be a running joke back in the day. Most people watching now might not even remember this, but when Arnold Tiarina used to say, you know, he would drink when we talked about training. I don't want you to think about that. We're not talking about training. This is not a show on training, even though we're talking about it. But at the same time, let me just say, training encompasses every part of your dealership, from every piece of variable to fixed, back, front, sideways. It doesn't matter. And it's not just sales training or leadership training or management training. You know, it's your CRM training, it's process training, it's up training. I mean, it's everything.
Phone call.
I mean, it's receptionist training. It's how to handle every situation. And when we say training, we're not talking about just a platform. We're talking about the influence that you do or do not have on your staff, that, you know, what do new people, what do their processes look like? How do they get onboarded with your company? How do they know what to do? Who's taking the time out to show them the right way? Did they catch it through osmosis? And real quick, I don't want to leave our audience out, Cribs. I want to give you a chance right here on Facebook, right while we're talking about this, to comment. I mean, not on training. I want you to comment on what we're talking about. I want you to weigh in on, you know,
how about just what rubs you the wrong way in the car business, right?
Yeah.
That again, this goes back to how we opened up. This platform is a platform for that. That is what really made Auto Dealer Live, is the ability to talk about things.
Vent.
because Dave, and like I said, in most podcasts or shows or whatever that you watch, mm-hmm. especially in this business, there's the off-air talk and right. there's the on-air talk, right?
Right, yeah.
We'd like them to look the same.
So let's have off-air, on-air today.
That's right.
Right? Let's air all of it out today. And look, you know, I want you, this isn't being negative, man. Listen, I want you to understand something. We're the most positive people around. I'm going to tell you, when I walk out of that boardroom,
ooh, yeah, baby.
When I walk out of that boardroom, and you know this, right, Cripps? We walk out of that boardroom and we agree to disagree. There's no negativity allowed, right? I mean, we're going to, listen, if there's an ounce of negativity, you're getting yanked back into the room and you're saying, hey, okay, we didn't leave something in the room. Yep. So we're not talking about being negative. So when you say, hey, man, I don't like this about the industry, keep in mind you love the industry. And what you're trying to do is say, I don't like the fact that people litter on, you know, and on the ground and throw paper all over my yard. Why? Because I love my yard.
Right.
Right. I'm not being negative. I'm speaking out. And now let's solve the problem. So let's air right. out our, you know, our, let's vent. Let's talk about what we, you know, would like to see change and shifted in this industry, this automotive industry that we love. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's crazy, man. What else gets you fired up, man?
Oh, man. So many things. I think, you know, we've talked many times about sort of this theory of, mm-hmm. of old school, new school and all that good stuff. That kind of fires me up, too, because I think that I feel like people associate certain things as being old school or mm-hmm. new school. Right. I feel like if we have accountability measures or expectations, that can be considered old school. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, one of the things that I feel like we've talked with Joe Webb about, mm-hmm. you know, his controversial is the road to the sale dead, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, my challenge to that, I don't believe it's dead. In fact, it's alive and kicking. And I'm sure, in fact, we'll challenge Joe to come back on maybe and have a conversation about that. But I'm sure he'd love that. But the thing is that I, you know, in the road to the sale, and I think most of our viewing audience is going to know what that is, you know, mm-hmm. meet and greet to delivery and follow up. But the point is that I'm trying to figure out if the road to the sale is dead, I'm trying to figure out which piece of that, I've been looking at this for years, that we could pull out. Mm-hmm. You know, can we pull out meeting someone either online or in person or over the phone? Mm-hmm. I don't think we can pull that out.
Right.
And then I also don't think that we can pull out an interview qualifying discovery moment of trying to figure out what it is they're looking for and how to meet mm-hmm. that need. I don't know how we can pull that out yet. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the next thing would be selecting, you know, matching up what our product to kind of meet what they need. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out how do I pull that out of
right.
the process.
Right.
And then, you know, of course we know the demonstration, right. Them to be able to touch, feel or whatever experience, whatever it is that they're about to purchase. Mm-hmm. Now, technically, I guess you could pull that out if they don't want to see it. Right. But to me, that's unethical. Mm-hmm. It would be unethical for me to, not allow them to experience something that they're about to hand me a bunch of money for. So that maybe you could pull that out, but I don't think so. I think you'd be doing them and everyone an injustice. The other thing, you know, after that is, of course, asking for the business. Can mm-hmm. you pull that out? I mean, you know, you got to have a yes or no at some point if you're right. moving forward, not moving forward. Mm-hmm. And you know, so the point I go
to me,
on
it sounds
on,
like whether you want to call it a road, out. Whether you want to call it a road. I mean, yeah. And, you know, Joe's a good guy. He's a friend
a
of
great
ours.
Guy.
And,
great guy.
And would second that. We'd love to have Joe come on and weigh in on that. So we're talking, you know, about, you know, controversial things like, hey, listen, let's kill the road to the sale, or better yet, right. you know, it's dead. And the reality is, Cribs, you just proved, whether you call it a road, whether you call it, you know, whether it's a dirt road or a paved road, whether it's a, you know, a canal, it right. doesn't really matter. It's right. a path. It's right. connecting the dots. And, you know, I think sometimes, you know, we look for ways, you know, because, you know, the business itself, you know, has been old school. So, you know, in some of the old school things that may need to change, and I think maybe sometimes where people kind of convolute these and link them together is maybe where, you know, somebody would slide their tie over the numbers, you know, or to be deceptive or outright right. lie, or you know or just, you know, do things that are unethical. And so I guess my question is, and that's just downright wrong. It just happens to be that was how the industry used to be. As I mean, Joe Callow was telling us,
no
you know,
question.
When he first got into the industry, I mean, these are real stories that, you know, literally at the dealership that he was trained at in the early to mid 90s, by the way, they threw a sales manager, picked up a phone, a desk phone and hit the customer with it and threw him through the window
right.
because the customer right. got upset with him. I mean, right. of course that doesn't happen. So that's old school. Well, that's no school.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think a modern sort of difference in opinion of maybe what I just presented, mm-hmm. you know, speaking for the other side for a moment, mm-hmm. this is something I've heard time and time again. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's not the 1980s. We don't right. have to make people go through a process anymore. We don't have to make them go. But nice. I mean, for me,
well, what's the alternative?
You know, when I meet a person at a dealership or over the phone that's coming into a dealership, there are certain things.
Well, and, I got an idea.
For me, it's called
okay,
process.
I got an idea, Dave. I'm gonna walk. You either work at Starbucks or Apple. Okay, two very modern places yes. that you know the car business has tagged as you know we need to be more alike.
Sure,
some people.
Sure.
All right, so I walk into Starbucks and I like I do every morning.
Right.
I don't stand in line. I cut in front of everyone.
Right.
Better yet, when I walk up and the barista at the register, the cashier says, "Well, how can I help you?" Right. I jump over the register and right. I proceed to grab my own cup and make my own coffee.
Right.
Well, that's not following their process.
No, right? It's not.
But I don't want a process.
Right.
Better yet, I go to Apple and I just try to walk in and go back in the back and grab my own phone, plug it in and hook it up.
Right.
I mean, they don't look too kindly at that because it's against, well, why can't I do that, Mr. Genius at Apple? Well, that's just not how we do things here. Why? They have right. a process. I mean, that's just a bunch of bull crap.
Exactly. And I'm all for offering.
Here we go again, controversy. Yeah.
And I'm all for, don't get me wrong, and I know that you are, Dave, as well. We're all for coming up with viable solutions
oh, sure.
that satisfy both parties, right? It's right. It's good for business and it's good for the client. It you know, attracts more customers, makes them more comfortable about the way they want to do something. That's mm-hmm. why Starbucks has a call ahead, right? You can
right.
call ahead and do the app and maybe have a drink to go that's more ready when you get there. But that's an option. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, when I go in Starbucks, I like going in Starbucks. Mm-hmm. I like going through the line. Here's one of the reasons, by the way, I like going through the line. I met David Villa at Starbucks mm-hmm. 6, 7, 8 years ago, whenever
yeah.
it was, right?
Yeah. yeah.
The point is that's one of I use Starbucks. I leverage Starbucks
right.
for, you know, being able to actually interact with live people every morning.
Right.
And, you know,
But the thing is that you hit it on the head. I've never my assistant uses the mobile and I think it's great. I mean, I stand there when I'm waiting for my coffee and I watch people come in and so forth. And you know, the reality is there's so many people using mobile. It doesn't really save a ton of time because I find that I'm standing there waiting for my coffee and I see two or three people that are there around the same time picking up their mobile order and we're usually waiting about the same time and I end up talking to
true.
The people that are picking up the mobile orders
right.
every day because I see them right. and they have to wait because a lot of people
or
take advantage of it.
You see a hot drink sitting there for 5 minutes
sure.
and then it's cold by the time they pick it up.
Absolutely. And you know, but the thing is, and that's fine and I'm not yeah. dogging that process.
Sure.
I think that's convenient and you know, it just makes people feel better. And I guess really, you know, here's the thing, but Starbucks is not trying to close their store down. You know, they're not trying
right.
to say that this is that, you know, the cash register is dead. And I think this, Dave, you know, we you know, we're vendors and so we don't vendor hate, but I think a lot of times these ideas are brought on and I think maybe they're sold the wrong way. Let me give you an example and see if you agree. So let's say I come up with, you know, many, many of the good products that are out there that are designed to, because there's frustrations along the road, there's pit falls along the road or potholes along the road to the sale possibly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, places that are maybe detours and in rest areas that don't need to be there and what have you. You know, and so someone has traveled that road many times, they go, you know what, there's a more efficient way to do this. It's
sure.
not dead. They want to add it. The way they look at it and sell it sometimes because they have a solution to a problem that they've experienced on that road
mm-hmm.
is they pitch it by saying the road sucks, change roads. Instead of saying, hey, let me give you a tool that is going to assist you along
right.
the road.
Right.
You know, and rather than eliminate
right.
the road, that it's being sold wrong. It's being sold wrong.
Right.
Like, you know, your way is ugly. I'm going to insult your buying decision, Mr. Dealer. The road is dead and you are wrong. And they're going to tick a bunch of people off and isolate a bunch of people.
Right.
Rather than say, hey, I've got the ability to assist you along that road and make it easier. Now,
right.
see, that's a lot better of a way to say it.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
And it's all in the delivery.
Yeah. So there's a million topics that mm-hmm. we can cover. I mean, I just did a training on cash down because I believe that mm-hmm. we've gotten away from working cash down. And for those of us who are in the business and behind the desk and things like that, we understand the connection between cash down and building gross.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I first got in the business, Dave, that didn't sound logical to me. It's like, wait a minute, you have a $30,000 car, you mm-hmm. own it for 27 grand,
mm-hmm.
you sell it for 29, you're making 2 grand, right?
Right.
Whether I put down 5 grand or 30 grand or
right.
$100, It doesn't change the price. So how does that affect gross? Well, mm-hmm. then it becomes a little more complex. You begin to figure out that that bottom line is what kind of comes into play when it, when we start talking about how it affects gross. I won't get into all that. I know that right. dealers around the country understand that. But when we get that call back from the bank mm-hmm. and, you know, we're trying to finance $36,000 on that car, Dave. We're trying to finance 36 grand, and the bank says we're only going to do 35. Well, we're $1,000 short. Had mm-hmm. we collected that $1,000 of cash up front, now we mm-hmm. don't have to think about cutting our deal. How mm-hmm. do we get it from the customer now that, you know, that kind of thing. So the point is, the point to that is that there's still opportunity for cash down. And I think in this sort of pursuit of don't ruffle the feathers of a customer to create this experience. But yeah. that's something that, you know, the cash down offers tons of benefits for the customer. So I'm going to be sharing those.
I'm going to ruffle some feathers here for a second because sure. I'm going to say this. I'm going to look right in the camera and say this. It's just my opinion. Just like, by the way, opinions, right? Everyone has one or two of them. They're like feet. You got a couple and they probably stink, right?
Woo!
So let me just say this. This is my opinion. You could hate it.
Stinks.
You could not
stinks,
like it.
Man. It stinks.
I mean, this could be the suckiest opinion in the world. So I'm going to give my opinion, right? On this, here's the reality is, where are these customers? And look, I'm not talking about, look, we've known this for years and years and years, that customers, right, don't like going to a dealership, partially because they got lied to, by the way, partially because yep. they got stole from, right? We're talking about yep. things, you know, where they don't trust the scenario. It's a process. And look, I get it. But the reality is, I mean, go get your hair cut. It's a process. What are you going to, you know, I mean, go get a massage and go get, you know, a facial. It's a process. You go get the pedicure, a manicure, you know, it's a process. You're there yeah. for a couple hours. I mean, it just takes time. Do you want them rushing, you know, and throwing something on your feet? You know, I mean, do you want them to walk the process? So I'm going to say this, where are these customers besides the unethical portion of the car business, which, by the way, unethical practices in business have no place in any business, right?
Amen.
Any business. They should have went out of style when mobs, you know, weren't in style anymore and gangsters went out of business, right? So what I'm saying, in my opinion, where are these customers that are complaining so much about a process? Where are they going to process? So I don't know, man.
Well, I think it's part of that's driven. I just got to say this before we go, but part of that's driven by, you know, of course, if you survey a million customers and say, what would you like to see different in, you know, when buying a car? Well, I'd like mm-hmm. it to be quicker. I don't want right. to wait there. I don't want to have to negotiate. Right. I don't want to do any of those things.
Right.
We all know that those are things. And those are things, by the way, that vendors use when they're selling us products as dealers. But but here's the interesting thing, which has kept this industry the way that it is for so many years, is that I can survey you, Dave, and you can say, I want one price, I want 45 minutes, I want whatever. And we've seen stores and groups go to that entire plan. And when you can go to that entire plan and you implement it correctly, it can be successful. But, however, the majority of dealers are not on that plan. And here's the problem, is that you're going to reach a certain amount of that audience. But out of those 1,000 people that said they want it that way, only mm-hmm. a portion are actually going to pursue that way.
Right.
The rest are going to go, okay, there's your one price. We get it. You know what? We're going to go over here, even though it's uncomfortable for us because we don't really know the outcome. We still need peace of mind to know we can't get a better deal over here.
Yeah.
And so they explore it. And then
absolutely.
If they meet a salesperson that's doing the right thing, they're going to capture that deal. And yeah. it's going to be, because it can be an amazingly, not only good process, but yeah. It can be a
well,
customer
human,
for life.
Because of the human experience. You can't yes. discount the human experience. And
yes.
look, and I get it, the surveys, and I knew that. And I appreciate you clarifying that because I probably would have gotten a message saying, hey, dummy, you know, there's a... You know, there's surveys out there that say this, and I get that. I was being a little facetious, but I'm going to say this. Yes, there's surveys, but if you ask somebody on those same surveys, hey, how can you have a better experience on when your next pedicure, manicure, you know, and facial? Well, yeah. and they may say the same thing. I'd like it to be a little quicker. I'd like them to, you know, yep. talk a little less or whatever yep. it is. And so my point is that it can always get better. But it doesn't mean it sucks and doesn't mean it's wrong. And by the way, correct. When someone says if negotiation is in my opinion, if negotiation is in the same survey, you know, questionnaire or the same multiple choice given as an answer for that question as time, it's for a different reason. we think the negotiation is because somebody wants to come in and wants to know exactly up front what they're going to be paid, and that they don't prefer to negotiate. Well, that's not true. Where there'd be no such things, there'd be no places where flea markets and yard sales and swap meets, and there'd be no places where people can go and negotiate. There'd be no eBay and bidding, and there'd be none of this stuff. People enjoy going and getting a good deal, and they like the fact that they can negotiate. What they don't like is dishonesty. Mm-hmm. They don't like that. So when negotiate, and so because the car business is still overcoming, it's gotten a lot better. That stigma, right, of I'm going to rip you off, right? Yeah. I'm going to rip you off. Then a customer is if unless they enjoy that, if they don't have the personality, that they're afraid that they possibly will get taken advantage of. So I will say that be honest and integral and go out of your way. But negotiation is not a bad tool, and it's not a bad thing. And you know, and just because you don't go to Walmart and have to negotiate, look, you don't demand to see what Walmart pays for their items. And I guarantee you, they're making a pretty hefty profit.
Yeah.
If not, then they wouldn't be, you know, in top 20 wealthiest people in the world, the executives of Walmart.
Yeah, it's a funny thing, and I'll leave this as a last little survey tidbit statistic, but, you know, this goes back to, you know, when consumers were asked, Dave, on a $30,000 car, what do you think is a fair profit for a dealer? The answer was averaged out to be 10%, about 10%, which seems reasonable on a $30,000 product, right? The same consumers, when asked, what do you think a dealer really makes on a $30,000 car? It was between 20 and 30%. Mm. That's their perception. We know as dealers, we make about 2 to 3%, way below even the 10% that they think is fair. So if you think about that, then you understand why they feel the way they feel if they actually believe that. So, and we're evolving there too with education. I'm not going to stay on that. But the point is, hey, if you want to bring something to the show, because we're going to go down some new roads right here on Auto Dealer Live, we're going to get back to some of this ability to really talk about.
We're
going to
talk a little
mind.
More. I think that you and I, you know, we've been asked by a lot of people, you know, listen, we want to hear more of you guys talk and kind of get into discussions like this. So we're going to be bringing on guests, but we're going to be talking. We're going to be really bringing some, you know, bringing the beef, man. I got a beef I want to bring up here. But real quick. We're going to go to a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back where I'm going to bring up my number one beef, and it's going to ruffle some feathers of possibly some vendors, but I want to bring it up and see what you think about this. All we'll be back in just 60 seconds. Don't go anywhere.
We'll see.